All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Nine dangerous occult practices. You know, the occult, or Satan worship, is more alive today than many might think. It's being glamorized and taught to our children in movies, TV shows, and even in book series like Harry Potter. And the occult has even influenced and taken over whole music industries, such as the hip-hop music industry, heavy metal, thrasher rock music, and pop music, and so on. You know, if you are awake at all, during the last two Super Bowls, during the halftime show, you would have noticed that those halftime shows were nothing more than a huge, grand, pagan ceremony, a worship ritual, if you would. Rituals even used to summon evil spirits and demons. If that sounds a little too much for you, then hey, you're probably not awake. You're probably not aware of the scripture in Revelation chapter 18, where it says that Mystery Babylon, that great harlot, has, in quotes here, has deceived the world, it says, by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, by her witchcraft, by sorcery. And so this is a very serious thing. You know, we're entering into a new age, my friends. A new age of spiritism, occultism. It's a new age where all this pagan stuff that used to exist in the past among the mainstream is coming back alive. And it's even coming back to the point where it's coming back with more power than it's ever had before. So this is a time to stay awake. This is a time to stay alert. This is not a time to sleep. And in this chapter, I'm going to say this too. Although I mentioned that the occult is being taught to our children through Hollywood, through TVs, movies, and book series, and throughout these much of the music industry that's being promoted today. Although I said that, it's also the occult. Now listen to me closely. The occult has also taken over a great majority of mainstream Christianity. And we're going to talk about that in this chapter when we get reading. And we're also going to go over the list of nine specific occult practices God told us or warned us to stay away from. But before we get in reading here in Deuteronomy 18, let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray for wisdom and understanding in your word. Help us to understand this chapter. Help us to understand the dangers of the occult and the reality that it is before us today, that it is flooding America and the rest of the world. And we pray that you can help guard us from those evil spirits that are encircling us at this time. In Yeshua, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we're going to pick it up in verse 9, and it reads, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." What did those nations do? They did everything immoral. Unjust. We covered many of those things in some of the prior chapters, such as they committed bestiality, homosexuality, incest. You name it, they did it. And you know what? You name it, they're doing it today. Bestiality is coming back. All these ancient pagan things are coming back today. Some of them repackaged and dressed up really nice and neat and holy, like this going green movement. Hey, there's nothing wrong with trying to protect the environment and taking care of things, but when people make a religion out of it, to the point that they're worshiping it, worshiping the earth, rather than God. That's paganism. That's paganism at its core. It's the worship of the creation, the worship of man, and so forth. But what God says, hey, I don't want, when you go into your land, when you have your country, I don't want you to learn to do after the abominations of those nations. What do we do today? We teach our children that diversity and tolerance is great. Tolerance of every false religion and pagan god that there is, that's not biblical. Our forefathers didn't tolerate witchcraft and sorcery. This idea of this is a great place in America where we can all just worship all these false gods, hey, that doesn't work, my friends. Look at the fruits of it today. So that's what he says. Don't learn to do that. Don't teach your children to do that. Yet, hey, we got our children reading Harry Potter books. Oh, isn't it wonderful? They learn to read. And they're excited to read, but they're sitting there reading about mysticism and sorcery and spells. And they say, oh, that's not really serious, though. It's just entertainment. Hey, you know, a lot of people think that a lot of these things are just entertainment or they're just fun. They're gateways into getting people curious, bringing people into the knowledge and bringing people into the knowledge of these different occult things. It's entry level stuff. It is serious. It's not pretend. The occult is very real and it's taking over the entire earth at this time. Mystery Babylon is brewing up her magic potion, her magic songs even, and is enchanting the entire world. There shall not, verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. This was the Moloch practice. This was human sacrifice. They would sacrifice. First, let me back up a little bit. The practices of the Canaanites, they worshiped the god Ashtoreth, Baal, and many other gods. But it basically came down to this. Earth worship, sex worship, fame worship, or I should say, you know, being famous, or having lots of money and power. That's what it's all about. That's where all these false religions lead. They all lead to worship of self, worship of sex, worship of pleasure, and rebellion against God. That's what it is. And, here we go. So number one would be Moloch practice. God says, hey, don't you have anybody sacrifice their children to Moloch to try to have a better life or think that, that sacrifice is going to give you ease and success from the God, from Moloch. You know what? Somebody would say, well, nobody does that today. Nobody sacrifices their children to Moloch, their son or daughter to Moloch. But you know what? They do, my friends. Millions upon millions of babies are aborted each year for the sake of making somebody's life easier. They don't want the responsibility. So they sacrifice their children so that they can have a more easy life. They don't want to deal with a child. Our president today says, I don't want my girls punished with a baby. So they sacrifice them to Moloch. It's the same thing, my friends. Moloch practice is alive and well. It's just called abortion. But it's done for the same purposes, for selfish desires. So that's number one, or that useth divination. That's number two. Now, divination, this is somebody who uses witchcraft. This has to do with, this word is used in connection with false prophets, and you'll find a whole scenario there in Ezekiel 13 where God talks against the false prophets. But in other words, this is one of the words that, I should say, one of the occult practices that has entered into mainstream Christianity today. Because to divine, or to use divination, is to false prophesy, to give a false prophecy, to teach people, hey, don't worry about anything. We're going to have peace, peace and safety. Or don't worry about anything. You're going to just be raptured away. Don't worry about the tribulation. Don't worry about preparing for battle. Don't worry about putting on the gospel armor and standing against Satan and this wickedness that's encircling the globe at this time. Just believe and be saved and get raptured. That's divination, my friends. That's a false prophecy. For God, through His Word, has told us over and over again that we must take up our cross and follow Him. That we must endure persecution. He never promised us an easy road as a Christian. But the diviners will tell you so. The diviners all throughout the church pulpits today will say, hey, don't worry about a thing. You're not going to go through the tribulation. But I'm telling you that you will go through the tribulation. And the sooner you know that, the better, because you need to be prepared. We're not playing games. You got the forces of evil growing and surrounding us today. Like I said, in the music industries, many of them. Thank God there are a few good ones left, but even they are being infiltrated. Like, well, I'm not going to go into any details. Hey, just do some word searches. Google word searches on pop music and sorcery and witchcraft. And you'll see it. You watch any of those videos, it's all done with this ceremonial, symbolic worship to false gods. And these people are deceived into it. This mass deception. Well, we'll talk about it in a little bit. But anyways, the divination there is alive and well in our churches today. Or an observer of times. Now, an observer of times is someone who, again, is involved in spiritism, witchcraft, and so forth. But this is somebody who wants to tell the future. To tell you the future based on something that's not God's word. You can go into the lower class of these things. These would be like your fortune tell. You'd even have in your fortune cookies. Or in the horoscope of newspaper or whatever. But we must also be careful that if we're ever going to tell people what tomorrow brings, it's got to be based off of God's word. And you know, you'll often hear it said, history repeats itself over and over again. And by looking at yesterday, you can foretell the future tomorrow. And that's true. That's true. But you want to be careful. You don't want to just be a historian just looking at history and saying this is what's going to happen tomorrow because it happened before. You want to make sure you're looking at God's word. You want to make sure you're reading the book of Revelation, as well as every other book in the Bible that tell us what's going to happen tomorrow. Tell the people straightforward. That is, again, that's something we got to be careful of, because there are some today that set themselves up as a sort of modern day prophets. And they want to tell you everything that's going to happen tomorrow, but they're not basing it enough off of biblical scripture. If somebody does that over and over again, they almost become an observer of times. Somebody in this category, whether they realize it or not. That's why all prophecy must come from God's word. not from man, not from his skill or his ability to look at history and say what's going to happen tomorrow. And well, we're going to talk about that anyways. Or an enchanter. Now, this is something that's interesting. This is kind of the same thing as an observer of times. It's somebody who observes signs. But then he, if you look up this word in your Strong's Concordance, it actually goes back to hiss or to whisper. And it's used of a soothsayer. Somebody who will enchant you with his tongue and give you soothsaying messages. Oh, you're so great. You're so wonderful. This reminds me a lot of the prosperity-only preachers today. They're continually just giving you those enchanting messages. How you can just, you know, better yourself all the time. Hey, we better ourselves by following God's law, by praying to Him, by asking Him for help in our daily lives. Not by listening to an enchanter. Anyways, or a witch. Now, a witch is somebody who uses witchcraft or sorcery. Now, again, look up all these words in your Strong's Concordance, or even better yet, go to the blueletterbible.org and open up this chapter, Deuteronomy 28, and click on the meanings of each of these words. And you'll get a better understanding of what we're talking about. But this one basically boils down, being a witch is somebody who uses enchantment. Somebody, an enchantment means somebody who's, you know, basically, it's the arts of seducing even. The art of seduction. Now that should kind of open up your mind right now when you look at this pop music industry today. They use the art of seduction all the time. All, you know, constantly showing a little nakedness here and there, all kinds of skin and sexual vibrations of every kind. That's enchantment. It's seduction. And, you know, there's one other definition that you need to know about a witch. They use magical songs to enchant people with. To seduce people with, to cast a spell upon them even. Think about that for a minute. You know, we always use, you know, a lot of times we just think of a witch. We think of somebody with a black hat on, somebody sitting there stirring a potion of, you know, in some big black kettle or whatever, some magical potion. It's not so, my friends. Witches, for the most part, have always been some of the most beautiful, glamorous people on this earth, according to the flesh. And the modern day witches you'll see today are people like Lady Gaga, Madonna, Rihanna, and all kinds of other pop stars. Those are your modern day witches. They are those who use enchantment, who use magical songs to cast spells upon people. To get people into a trance-like state where they don't care about anything else other than the flesh, the fleshly desires. And they don't have they're so steeped into that, they're so spellbound, I should say, that they won't look into political matters seriously, religious matters, because they just have no interest for that. They're under a strong delusion. And if you want to read about that, you read about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where God says, hey, I will allow a strong delusion to be cast upon the peoples of the earth if they want to believe lies. If they want, or if they allow themselves to be deceived by these modern day witches. You know, some would say, oh, you sound like one of those you know, people that be at the Salem witch trials or whatever, you know, witch hunting. My friends, have you ever looked closely at the videos that these people put out? If that's not witchcraft, if that's not sorcery, I don't know what is. Verse 11. Or a charmer. Now, a charmer there is number six. It means someone who fascinates you with something. Got this really deep truth for you, but it's not really in the Bible. It's sort of fascinating. I know some of you have probably heard those people. I've dealt with those people before, especially even in Christian circles. You always got somebody there that says, I got this really deep truth. You know, there are deep truths. There are mysteries in the Bible. Christ spoke about them in parables. But you always get these charmers that'll come around and say, I have something even deeper. Something fascinating. Just listen to what I have to say. And hey, if it doesn't make sense, you're probably listening to a charmer, because God's word, even when it is a mystery, when your eyes are open to it, it's always something that's very clear. It's something easy to be understood. And it's something that you'd say, oh, why didn't I see that before? But not the message from the charmer. They bring you into confusion. And they join you to evil. Here we go. We'll go on to, or a consulter with familiar spirits. Now, that's an easy one. That's somebody who prays to demons, who prays to evil spirits. Now, there are many people that do that today. Again, this all goes back to, you'll find all these things in these books, Harry Potter series and so forth. You'll find all these different things. God's just laying out all these different practices that people used to try to get, to try to see the unknown or try to have contact with the spirit world. But there is only one way to come in contact with the spirit world. And that is through God's word. If you want to know the truth, if you want to have the Holy Spirit give you power rather than some demon, then we listen to God's word and not get messed up with all this demonic, evil, wicked stuff here. Anyways, or a wizard. No, wizard, did we cover that yet? Well, it was similar to another category, but a wizard is a false prophet, somebody who uses sorcery and stuff like that too, basically like a witch, or a necromancer. Now, a necromancer is somebody, a medium, or somebody who claims to talk to the dead. You know, it can be real tempting for people when they lose a loved one or something like that, to say, hey, I want to hear from them. I want to see them again. And then they go to one of these necromancers and they think they see their loved one or hear from them. But it's nothing but an evil spirit. Hey, we can't do that. These practices that these sorcerers use, these nine different practices, are forbidden by God because they unleash the powers of hell. And they're very seductive. And they're very real. And they will destroy souls. That's why in Leviticus chapter 19, God says, hey, I don't want any of these things among you. In fact, there was even, I'll just turn there, Leviticus chapter 19. I think it's chapter 19. Yeah, Leviticus 19, verse 31, he says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, evil spirits. Neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt not rise up, okay, and so forth. Anyways, God says, don't do that. And I think in chapter 20, chapter 20 here, he says, in the soul that, 20 verse 6, he says, in the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my soul, set my face against that soul, and I will cut him off from among his people. So that's serious. Do you want your child to be cut off from among God's people? Do you want God to turn his face away from your child because he's steeped in, he or she is steeped into Harry Potter books? I don't think so. I don't think so. And we didn't read it here, but the penalty for these things was the death penalty. Because these things were very serious. They didn't just, people say, well, how could you have the death penalty for something like that? I mean, it's not like they were murdering people. They weren't? These things murder souls. These types of practices. They lead people to Satan. Verse 12, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. That means the word abomination means something that is utterly and completely filthy or disgusting. There aren't any good witches. There aren't any good sorcerers like we're taught today, like our children are taught. Hey, oh, if it's not an evil witch, if they're practicing white magic and not black magic, that's good. That's false. All these things are bad. Like God says, all these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. That's why God gave the Israelites the land in the first place. That's why God wanted the Canaanites driven out of the land, was because of these abominations. And now here we are today, practicing and allowing these practices to take place in our country. And we too are being driven out from among our land. You look at the economy today. Why are these things happening? They're happening because we're allowing these types of things to flourish in our land. We're being seduced by sorcery, just like Revelation 18 says. And even in Revelation chapter 9, it says, hey, they were deceived by the sorcery, by enchantment, by magical songs. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against music. I'm against music that's used to seduce souls. Verse 13, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Now, this word perfect doesn't mean you're going to be this, you know, you're going to be sinless. It just means, hey, you have to have a clean or devoted or single-hearted, you have to be single-hearted, I should say it this way. You have to strive to want to do what's right. You want to strive to follow God's law. To be after his own heart, like David even. That's what God requires. And you'll find this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, this same thing spoken by our Lord. Let me turn there for a second. Matthew 5, verse 48, and it reads, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That means, again, that word perfect doesn't mean you're going to be sinless like God. It just means you're going to be mature in love. You know? And so on. We should all strive to do what we can to fall in line with God's law. To not be defiled by these disgusting abominations that people get into. That people are seduced into. Verse 14, for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearkened, they listened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Now check it out. How are we supposed to, you know what's going to happen tomorrow then? What is the opposite of all of these enchanters, wizards, and all that? What does God use in opposition to those things? What are we to listen to? Since we can't listen to all the soothsayers and, and these enchanters and so forth. Well, let's check it out. Verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. In other words, God says, I'm going to raise you up someone who's going to, a prophet. That means somebody who speaks for God. And he's going to be just like you. He's going to be a common person. And he's going to be one of your brethren. He's going to be an Israelite. All the prophets throughout the Bible were Israelites. That's the way it is. That's the line that God had chosen to bring forth the gospel of the kingdom, to bring forth God's law to the world, and so forth. But he says, unto him you shall hearken. And this verse ultimately is speaking of Jesus Christ, the prophet of prophets. But it also does include all those different prophets from here on throughout the entire Bible, all the way up until Revelation chapter 11, with the two witnesses. Those two witnesses are two prophets. And but this, going back here, this includes all those such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the minor prophets, Micah, Isaiah, Amos, and so forth. God says, hey, those are the people that are going to tell you what you need to know. Those are they whom you shall listen to. Not unto the wizards, not unto Harry Potter, not unto Nostradamus, not unto somebody who claims to know the future of tomorrow all the time, just based on history alone, but upon God's word. Those who speak for God. Verse 16, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. In other words, the people were afraid to hear God directly. That's why he had to use the method of the prophet. So God said, hey, since you won't listen to me, since my voice is too terrifying for you, then I'll give you somebody who you can relax around. Somebody who's just like you, so you don't have to worry. So, you know, you look at God's servants today. God's Bible teachers, most of them are just common everyday people. People can relate to. Sinners just like the rest of us. So God says, hey, that's the method I'm going to use, and since you're afraid to hear from me. So he says, verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. Again, their brethren must be an Israelite, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it is fascinating that in John chapter 7, verse 16, Christ said this very thing. He said, I came to speak not my words, but God's words. And I'm kind of paraphrasing there. Let me just turn there. Maybe I'll just read that verse, John chapter 7. And here we go. Verse 14, John 7, verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? How come he knows so much? How come he's so intelligent and he's never been to our universities? My friends, some of the best Bible teachers today probably have not been to the huge major denominational seminaries or colleges, because that's not where you're going to get the truth of God's word. Most often, you're going to get traditions of men and leaven, the doctrine of the scribes and Pharisees. Anyways, that's another time. You're saying, how did he know all this truth? How did he get all this wisdom? And he's never been to our seminary. Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. That's the key, my friend. He says, verse 17, he says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm a true prophet. I am that prophet of Deuteronomy chapter 18 that God prophesied would come. Now again, ultimately, Christ fulfilled that role of prophet. But God does use common everyday people to speak for him, to bring forth his message, to teach his word. Christ set the example here. What does a true Bible teacher do? He doesn't speak his own words. He doesn't make his own doctrine up. He teaches God's word. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. And so on and so forth. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, people who come speaking in their own name, not teaching God's word, they seek their own glory. They seek their own fame. But a true servant of God will teach God's word, seeking glory for Almighty God rather than self. Again, you have to be alert. There are people that are very good people, some very good Christian conservatives, libertarians, that can lead you astray if they're not basing the things they're teaching you off of God's word, if they're trying to use their own wisdom more than they are teaching God's word, then they're speaking their own words. They're trying to show you how wise they are, what a observer of times they can be. We can observe time. We know what's going to happen by reading God's word. By reading God's word. Yeah, we can look at history after knowing that and say, yeah, history repeats itself and this happened before and this will happen again. That's part of learning. That's why we learn. But if we want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, we must go to God's word rather than observers of times, no matter how skilled they are. No matter how skilled they are. Verse 19, when we look at mainstream Christianity today, you get most of the sermons you hear today is where a pastor or a minister or a priest will just read like one scripture from the Bible and they'll talk all of their own words, their own experience, this and that, and certain stories that happened to them. They're speaking their own words. That's not what a Bible teacher is supposed to do. Verse 19, and it shall come to pass that, that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Such as, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. Hey, when the people, both the people and the leaders, did not listen to those prophets, they paid the price. Because God spoke to those prophets. He said, hey, you go tell them this or that. And if they will not listen, then, hey, I'll deal with them. But it's the same today. Hey, when we teach God's word, when we plant seeds and we say, thus saith the Lord, basically. If people will not listen to God's word, then they're going to have to answer for it. Because God has sent servants throughout every generation, speaking that warning, giving that truth. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. God takes it very serious. That's why, if you're a Bible teacher or a minister or a pastor, you must take this verse very, very seriously. Because if you speak things in God's name and it's not something that God spoke, you could very well be on the, well, the not so good list. God doesn't like his people being led astray by false prophets, by false prophecies. Verse 21, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? This is the answer. 22, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, this is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously by his own will. You know, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And that's something we want to be really careful not to do. You know, we're in the end times right now. And we don't want to get so excited that we start giving prophecies and reading too much into things and saying, hey, this is when the end's going to happen. It's going to happen on this date or that date. Because then you're in danger of speaking presumptuously, of speaking your own will, because maybe you're excited about it and you want it to end soon or on this day or that day, so you make everything fit to that day. We're not to do that. We're not to do that. Hey, we're just supposed to teach God's word. And that's what we're supposed to do. You know, again, the opposite of these 9 different occult practices or occult teachers, occult priests, even if that's what you want to call them, are simply the prophets. They are the opposite. People who teach or speak God's word. If we want to have insight into the spiritual world, that's where we find it, in God's word. We get it from God. We don't need to go to the diviners, the observers of times, the witches, the charmers, the consulters of evil spirits. We don't need to go to those people. We don't need to listen to pop music to feel spiritual. We just need to listen to God's word. It's that simple. You know, the seduction is so strong. You know, if when you break down each one of these different categories of sorcerers or, witchcraft priests, whatever you want to call them. You could call them as, these are satanic priests. 9 different satanic priests. That's what they really are when you really break it down. But when you break them down to the core, they all tie in and interconnect with the serpent of Genesis chapter 3. That serpent who was so elusive and who could use who could hiss with a charm and put somebody in a trance or an enchantment. He was very good at it. Very good at seduction in multiple ways. Anyways, hey, I hope you enjoyed that study. We're going to move on to chapter 19 in our next study, and we're going to just keep plowing through this book of Deuteronomy. We're keep getting closer and closer to the end. There is so much information in these last chapters of Deuteronomy that you do not want to miss. You do not want to miss. So again, just to recap this study, listen to God, not man. If you want to feel spiritual, feel the Holy Spirit by listening to God's word and rely on his power. Don't get too curious into wanting to see the hidden things and be drawn in by the priests of Satan. That's not good. All right. Well, remember this. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you stay in it. See that you absorb his word every day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Amos chapter 8 warns us that there would be a famine for hearing the word of God in the last days. Most churches have given in to political correctness or teach some other watered-down version of Christianity. But you can help us keep that truth alive by becoming a paid subscriber by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. For only $15 a month, you can help be a part of a ministry that is keeping that fire of truth alive in these troublous times.